Blog Talk Radio.
I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.
Hello? Hello? Okay. Margaret, are you there?
I am. Hello. Hello?
One more time. Hello, Margaret.
Hello.
Are you there?
I'm here. I'm here.
Oh, boy.
I don't know what's going on here.
I just heard someone said you've been talking. Good. I'm glad you did, because this switchboard has gotten really weird.
It's all the energy. It's all the energy. We got to bring it in.
You know what? You're right. I did not. We talked about this beforehand, and, you know, and I didn't do what I said I'd do. There we go. I hope you said wonderful things out there, I presume. So,
you know what? I'm right near the sitting right next to my patio door, and I can see the sunshine. So it's been a nice little wait, just kind of waiting for you to come back on.
Okay, so I'm not sure how much it was heard on here, and that's okay, I guess.
Joys of.
Anyway, so we've got this wonderful day out here in Wisconsin, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And looking forward to the spring that, like, I think we're going to have all the way through. Maybe, and maybe not. We won't have winter this year. I don't know. So,
yeah, it's certainly been the lamb. Is that what they say? It comes in like a lamb, goes out like a lion, or I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
something like that.
Kind of crazy things here. Anyway, so you know. You and I have known each other now probably for, what, about a year? Which is kind of cool when I think about that.
And yeah.
Come in play. And, you know, and again, I find that social media and networking really does have some really cool advantages to it. You know, people that you may not have met any other way, you know, and that's 6 degrees of separation that people talk about. I think that's kind of where we were, because, you know, it's like knew each other not directly, but through other people that connected us up ultimately.
Right. So. Yeah, after a while, people, you kind of start meeting people in, like, similar circles, and the circles start connecting.
Yeah. Have you, have you had that kind of experience with other people that you've encountered, or do you pretty much stay localized with those you encounter?
I guess a mixture of both. You know, I tend to have friends in, like, different groups. You know, I have the friends that I went to nursing school with. I have the friends that I work with when I was working in the hospital. I have, like, different pockets of friends, and what's fun is when you add someone maybe to like your Facebook group, and then you find out, oh, they know somebody else, and it's kind of fun to see where all these different people connect. So yeah, it is fun. And that's one of the, you know, the negative about social media. That's one of the positives.
Okay. That was interesting.
Let's just take some deep breaths and.
Okay. The aliens are coming. The aliens are coming. Yeah, right. No, I shouldn't say that. That will make people think it's real because it came over a newscast, you know? They'll only hear that in the whole show.
That's a different show.
That's right. Exactly. I don't do those anymore. Anyway, you were saying, I apologize for that.
I don't know. I think I was just talking about how circles of friends and how they intersect. And you know, we always hear so many bad things about social media. But one of the good things is it does, you know, help you to reunite with old friends. And you can see and kind of meet more people almost when perhaps if you're on Facebook, you can see how your circles intersect. So that's one of the good things of social media, I guess.
Right. Right. I tend to agree with you on that. So, okay. So I hope everybody heard how to connect to this show as we actually get it started. If not, I will reiterate that. I have a couple people, I think, just listening. But you can call in at 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074. Press the 1 if you wish to talk to our guest today as we get into this discussion. And the topic of the day is, what is our topic of the day? CPR for your spiritual heart. So as I've been chatting back and forth with Margaret, and I hope, I didn't even ask you, it is Margaret Stoiber, correct? All this time? I haven't actually heard the pronunciation of your last name. You're just Margaret, you know? So.
Yeah. You got it. You nailed it. A lot of people get it wrong, but yes, good job.
Cool. Well, so, you know, Margaret's been through a lot of different things over life. She is a registered nurse, and probably the most impactful. I don't know. We'll hear whether there was more to it than that. But after an unexpected death of her husband, she began an awakening process that led her into studying essential oils, grief therapy, and alternative healing modalities. Margaret now practices meditation regularly and teaches meditation classes and other holistic type classes at the Unity Church in Milwaukee. She's a proud mom of 3 kids, has learned to love her life again. And also as a result of some of her experiences, she's currently busily writing a book entitled CPR for Your Spiritual Heart, Simple Ways to Nurture Your Heart at a Spiritual Level. So now I can officially welcome you to the show.
Thank you.
get into our, you know, practicing of purpose. Now, one of the main things I ask pretty much all of our guests is, you know, you've got your RN work, you've got your other healing modalities, you've got your book now. So it is all kind of surrounded around health or, you know, living a better life. So was there a point in your life, was there a turning point or an aha moment where you realized that this was your purpose? Or is there something else, a more general statement that you think covers your purpose?
Well, certainly I was one of those kids growing up who always wanted to be a nurse. So that was just something very early that I always wanted to do. And after I became a nurse, it definitely felt as though that was the right place for me. But then when my kids were young, we went through a time where my husband was working full time. I was working a lot, and it was getting to be difficult thinking, who's going to be watching the kids? Because, you know, he owned his own business, so his schedule could change frequently. And so that it ended up being that I was the one who gave up my work so that he could focus more on his business. So I gave up nursing, and I was fine with giving it up nursing because I felt as though taking care of children is like being a nurse. You know, it's all the caring and the concern. And so I gave it up, and that was okay because I still was caring for people. And somewhere along the way, I got into Zumba and became an instructor and loved that for a long, long time. And then when I was 44, my I think you said this in the intro, my husband died really unexpectedly. You know, he had a blood clot in his lung, and he pretty much passed into the next life within minutes. And it was pretty shocking. And it was a struggle for a long time. You know, when you have to grieve and then also care for children at the same time, it really places an immense burden on you. And it was, if I say it was difficult, it doesn't even quite cover it. So my aha moment came when, you know, I'm trying to get through this and take care of my kids and, you know, just struggle with the loss. And it just didn't seem as though all the traditional things were working. You know, I did therapy. I joined an online therapy group. I did all the things that I was supposed to be doing, but it wasn't really helping. And then kind of along the way, I started looking into more natural methods, and it seemed as though that kind of opened that whole door of that, and those kind of things seemed to help me more than the traditional methods. So that was kind of how I kind of turned into the lane of alternative therapy, I guess.
Okay. So for those who, I'm going to back up just a little bit on one of them.
Sure. Okay.
Some of us have heard of Zumba along the way, but only briefly. How is that different from, I don't know, Jazzercise or Aerobicize or any of the other ones that kind of were, I don't want to say fad because somebody might slap me upside my head, but were the more popular ones at, you know, periodic times?
What was different about them, or I'm not sure I understand.
Right. What
I'm sorry, you just went out for a second. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, you went out for a second. Okay, so I was starting to hear your question. What was different about Zumba as opposed to...
I said, what's really Zumba versus...
Oh, what is it?
You know, I think that's kind of the most... I think that's the most recent form of dance exercise out there right now, right?
Yeah, I think, yeah, there's some variations of it, but Zumba is actually a slang Latin word, and it means fast. And it started when this man named Beto was an instructor at the Y, and he came to do his class one day, and he didn't have the right music to teach his class. So he was, you know, of Latin heritage, and he thought, you know what, my music is fun. So he went out to his car, and he got his salsa tapes and some other Latin-inspired music, and he started teaching the class different, you know, steps that are in the Latin music. And I think the difference and the reason why it caught on so well is he said, you know what, there's really no wrong way to do it. And I don't know how much you or some of your listeners know about some of the other exercise programs out there, but there's a company called Les Mills, and they have classes like Body Pump and other classes like that. And they're wonderful and people love them, but they're very, very structured. And that was the thing that people loved about Zumba. It wasn't necessarily so structured. There was a general format, but if the instructor didn't like to do turns a lot because she was dizzy, she didn't have to do the turns that were in a song. She could make her own move. And so I think the freedom and the idea that anyone could do it, that's why it kind of caught on. And that's why it caught on for me because, you know, here I was coming into the fitness world significantly older than a lot of the other people were. And because there was that freedom, you know, I was able to make it work. So,
That's kind of what I wanted, you know, again, that things get to be a little bit of your own style. You get to put your own angle your own preferences into it. Kind of like a lot of what we're talking about just in life and living your purpose and, you know, finding your way through trauma and experiences that you have, which is kind of why
right.
I went that direction in case somebody went, what on earth did she do that for? So, you know, that's kind of what I was looking for and hoping you were going to touch on being an instructor, being able to go into that area. Thank you for
yeah.
that explanation for folks.
Sure.
Yeah, and I know there's like you said, there's lots of modalities out there, you know, the jazzercise and the aerobicize and the Qigong and some of the martial art type of things that have come on to the
mm-hmm.
scene. And again, everybody gets to do and choose some of what they want to stay
mm-hmm.
fit and healthy and mind things. So you said you became an instructor. So how did that specifically help you to be able to, you know, start finding yourself experiencing life again and going, you know, just getting back into some semblance of a reality check for you and your family?
Right. Well, I actually was an instructor before my husband passed. And
okay.
Then after he died, I wasn't able to do a class for a couple months. And because when you're leading the class, like, you have to hold a high amount of energy and enthusiasm and be kind of like the bubbly one. And I couldn't trust myself to be able to do that. So I held off for a couple months. And the interesting thing was when I got back into it, I really missed it. And, you know, for a while, you know, that those first couple years, those are one of the few times I really didn't miss them when I was in a class because, you know, it's all about the music and the fun and the moves and the people that are with you and the solidarity. And that was just one place where I really didn't miss them. It was fine to be in a Zumba class. So it really was a gift. It was really, really like almost like a little vacation to have that.
Okay. Did your kids get involved, or weren't they old enough for that at that point?
Well,
or how did you bring them into the?
Well, all my kids love to dance, and when they were younger, they thought it was kind of cool that I was a Zumba instructor. And then as they got older, it wasn't so cool. my daughter used to come, and she was adorable, and would come, but then it wasn't cool anymore that your mom was an instructor. So that kind of faded away. But everyone loves to dance. You know, we're definitely a dancing family. There's often music on. People, you know, will start doing something. They'll start break out into dancing and move. So it's in the family for sure.
Okay. So then what other kinds of things did you get into as far as trying to be able to heal your own soul?
Well, one of the first things that I did that I didn't know it was going to end up to be something was I would be somewhere like at a grocery store or being watching one of my kids in some activity, and thoughts would come to me, and they were so different than other kind of thoughts, you know, philosophy type of observations, and I would put them in my phone, or I get a piece of paper and I'd have to write them down. And I just kept doing this for quite a while and didn't really think anything of it, didn't question why I was doing it. And then one day I just thought to myself, you know, well, I have a book here. that whole idea about writing wasn't something that was really part of who I was, I guess. I mean, when I look back in high school, I was on your book and I was on newspaper. So I did have some interest in writing, and I've been an avid reader my whole life. So I really like books. You know, if you come in my room right now, I mean, I have so many books, but writing, and I've since found that expressing yourself through writing is very therapeutic. And so that was probably one of the first ways that I, first things that I did to help myself, for sure.
So were those things were they coming to you through a intuitive or a channeling, or was it just, or at that point, didn't you have any idea what it really was? Was it just ideas?
Both, because it was as though my thinking was changing. I was not seeing things. I think I always was more of a black and white type of person. Things were right or they were wrong. And, you know, people were good or they were bad, you know, and that's just really how I saw the world. And, you know, when things happen to you and you flip everything, you do see things differently. So I started seeing things very differently. So that just my observations of how different my worldview was how I started. And then it morphed into some of the different ways to heal yourself. The expected things that are supposed to help you, and then what really helped me. So it kind of was always like this contrast of, you know, what my education was, what any training I have was, and what was actually helping me were ending to be two different things. So that's kind of how it started. And it morphed as it went along. And, you know, sometimes I'd circle back to things and rewrite them. And then, you know, but that was really the beginning, I think.
And I laugh at that because I am told that a lot of times that I'm, you know, too literal, too black and white. There's got to be something gray. And I'm like, no, why does it have to be the gray? So,
come to the gray side.
That,
come to the gray side. It's nice.
Yeah? Is it okay?
Yeah.
I'm learning a little bit to kind of go there. It's, you know.
I would have thought you were in the gray side.
Really? No, not
yeah.
I'm coming a little bit, and you know that's kind of where some of the I'm going to just slightly off. You know, some of the subjects like intuition and reincarnation, and you know those
mm-hmm.
kinds of things that are a little bit scary to talk about and to think about, and you know channeling and you know whatever you want to call it or terminology you want to put on it. That's where I kind of get caught up a little bit. You know, and maybe it's just getting caught up in the terminology versus, you know,
caught up
in what it actually is. You know?
I think so many people get caught up in the terminology. And honestly, I just don't think that it matters to God or source or spirit or prime creator. I mean, I think there's way too many wars and things that happen in the name of just choosing to figure out what you call the prime creator, the source, you know, God, whatever. But we trip up too much way on the terminology. And I don't think it matters to whoever that is.
See, like I said, it's kind of where I am. It's like, okay, I can handle I can handle intuition, but channeling, I don't know, you know. Okay, are the aliens coming, or is it just folks that might live in other parts of our solar system? You know, things like that. It is pretty
yeah.
weird. So that's black and white, and I get nailed sometimes. About it, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, we gotta cross the lines as we get to them, and you know, in each in our own time and things as well. So,
mm-hmm. yeah,
get to
yeah.
another angle of that. So, how
I agree.
Did you? Okay, your kids were pretty young. You said when your husband passed.
Let's see, 14, 13, and 10.
Okay, so young enough that especially, you know. Wanting dad and because
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. Probably, I'm guessing maybe the youngest one was at that point more of, you know, paying attention that where's dad because about that age. But and teenagers kind of like, yeah, okay, usually until they really need dad.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, and kids process grief so differently than we do. You know, they they tend to look at things very singularly, like, today I have a game and my dad's not here. And then that's why they can, you know, go out and then still have fun because, you know, that's still something that kids do. Where, like, as adults, when someone important to us dies, we think of the whole span. We think of from, like, now until, like, you know, we're 80. We just look at it so differently where, you know, it's almost healthier in the way that they look at it. And that's just the way their minds are and their development, how they process it. So, you know, they would have moments of of sadness and grief, and then they could have moments of happiness. So, you know, it's just two different things, really, how they're going to process it than we do.
Okay. So in your messages you were getting, were there things that you involved them with, or how did you help them process as well?
Well, one of the things that I did is that I opened the door to supernatural, meaning a very healing thing that I absolutely think was one of the best things that I did for them is I took all three kids and we went to go see a psychic. And they didn't really want to go. They thought it was all a little weird. And they just kind of indulged me and were joking around on the way over. And nobody really thought it was wonderful, I guess. They just were kind of like, we'll just do this because Mom wants us to. And the woman doing the session, her name was Martina Schmidt. She no longer lives in Wisconsin, but she was phenomenal. She talked to each child and talked to them, about things in their life that had happened since their dad had died. And they were things that weren't available. They were things that nobody really knew. It wasn't like things that were on like Facebook that she could have looked up or something. There was absolutely no way she would have known that unless she was really having a true connection from the other side. And I don't want to like go into the specifics, but there was definitely some very specific things that she said that were so poignant, and there was no way anyone could have known that they felt very safe and very secure that she had a connection with their dad. And the fact that he knew all these things about them just really kind of reassured them, because I think that's one of the hard things when you're a parent dies when you're younger. You think they're never going to know me. They're not going to, you know, are they proud of me? You know, there's so many things and thoughts that go with that. And when they went through that, it was so incredibly wonderful and healing. It was probably one of the best things that I was able to do for them. And, you know, I know some people, they think that type of person is getting messages from a negative source, but truly everything she said was loving and kind and helpful. There's absolutely no way it was from, you know, a negative entity or source. So, I think that was probably one of the first things. And each one of them has had other type of experiences like that where it had significant dreams or almost messages. And so I think in a way they have more of an awareness probably than people, their peers do. I mean, they might not actually talk about it, but I do think that is there because, you know, now that's their only connection to their father is through that method. So I'm really glad that I was able to do that for them and that we had such a great session.
Yeah, because a lot of people don't. Like you say, they get that. And we've talked about that on the show, too, and before, that woo-woo stuff, so to speak. I didn't know we were going to go into that. That was a part of your story today. But again, it's that, what do we call it, too? You know, is it psychic? Is it prophecy? Is it speaking to the other side? Does it really matter as long as you can understand and, like you said, prove some kind of connection that there's no ifs, ands, whats, or buts about it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're getting it from some energy that is not within you or the other person.
Right. Right.
Cool.
Yeah.
And to have that kind of experience. So if you had similar experiences, I presume, you know, your husband doesn't just talk to the kids. You've been through some of that as well.
Yeah.
So
go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, so where have you gone in all of this? How has everything connected? Have the dots been connected for you as you're bringing this into your healing?
Well, I think for me, I had a few experiences that I really couldn't explain, that I you know, one of them, and I'm going to, this will be in my book, but I wasn't as interested in growing flowers after my husband died. It just, it's a long story, but I just wasn't as interested. And I think part of it is that he died in July, and it was this beautiful, you know, July is probably when the flowers are the prettiest in Wisconsin. You know, we just don't get like this whole season of flowers. And,
right.
you know, I'm at this time and there's flowers everywhere and there's sunshine. And I just wasn't as interested in flowers because it reminded me of that time. So, so a year later, I didn't have any flowers on my deck. I just wasn't interested. And, I had some pots that were sitting on my deck that had old flowers. I didn't even throw out the pots. They just were sitting there. I just kind of ignored them and they were sitting on my deck. And my birthday is in September. And my son's like, Mom, there's a flower growing in this pot. And I was like, what? You know, like I had these pots hadn't been watered in, you know, probably since the day before he died, which was, in, you know, July the year before.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go outside and there's this pot with like old dried up flowers in it. And then inside in between these old dried up flowers is like a miniature sunflower that's bloomed. And it's the most incredible thing. This sunflower is probably like 18 inches tall, has a flower on it. And it's blooming in this pot that hasn't been watered in, you know, over a year now. And then the timing of it was on my birthday. My birthday's in September. So, you know, I, you could use your scientific mind and say, well, you know, someone had a birdhouse or a bird feeder and a sunflower came from the bird feeder and then dropped into the pot. And that's how it happened. But, you know, the odds of this are all so bizarre and so strange. And I, you know, I just kind of had to put that, the scientific rational part of my brain aside and be like, look, this is from him. There's no doubt in my mind that this came from him, that he was like giving me a message like, hey, I know it's your birthday, so I'm sending you a flower. And I've never had anything grow like that since. And the fact that it happened just on that day, in that time frame, I know for sure that was from the next world. That was from heaven. That was how, again, whatever word you want to use, there's no doubt in my mind that that's what it was from. So I've had some experiences like that, and it's just really confirmed and reconfirmed in my mind that, you know, life does go on, and they are able to make connections with us. So again, I don't remember your question. I hope I answered it.
That's okay. But like you said, you know, if it were marigolds, you know, those are prevalent and the wind blows those seeds and everything else. So you're right that it's a sunflower specifically and not a seed that generally just blows around,
mm-hmm.
you know, even when you're around sunflowers, the next patch is going to be right next to where the first one is. It's not going to be across your yard.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. That's really pretty cool.
Yeah. And I think of it as it was a sunflower because, you know, sunflowers are always something you give to someone to kind of like make them happy.
Right.
You know, they're kind of, yeah. So I thought that was poignant or important that it was a sunflower. I think that was kind of the message. And the holder that I had it in, or excuse me, the pot was inside this wire holder and it has a heart on it. So I interpret it as, you know, like have some happiness in your heart. So yeah.
Wow.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. You know, they, yeah, I mean, basically sunflowers are like really fast growing and they're really bright and colorful and, you know, something
mm-hmm.
that around here, basically they are a symbol of adoration. You know, they turn their heads up to the sun. They, you know, they originally were grown specifically for
that reason, you know, that they have that kind of personality to them. But they also, you know, sometimes they're in shrubbery, sometimes they're there. But, they, you know, we tend to find them because they just, like, literally pop up out of, you know, they could be buried underneath other shrubbery, and then all of a sudden it's like they're 2 and 3 feet higher than everything else in, like, almost overnight, it feels like. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, that's pretty cool, that one. So,
yeah,
I know you kind of wanted to talk about specific, quote-unquote, CPR that you did for your soul, your spirit, with you and your family in this time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So where would you like to, what would you like to share with us about that? We talked about some of the basics of, you know, getting your own time,
mm-hmm.
finding your activities that, you know, that got you to being able to function. But
right.
what are some of the more specific things that you want to share?
Well, I should just start with how I came up with CPR for the heart. I had an experience where I was sitting in my car, and it was like 10 o'clock in the morning, and I was about to go into the grocery store, and I was thinking about what I wanted to get for dinner. And before my husband had died, I enjoyed cooking more because he was fun to cook for, he liked to eat, and after he died, I just became a lot less interested in cooking. Because children at that age are a little more interested in quantity, not as much quality. So, you know, they were just as happy with, you know, macaroni as they would be with steak. I mean, not literally, but you know what I mean? It's just a different type of cooking that you would do. So I'm sitting in my car and thinking about what I want to get from the grocery store. And I just happen to look over and I see a woman who had like the hands of someone kind of arthritic, and I just happened to just look at her, and as I'm looking at her, I just got like this intuitive sense that she was thinking, oh, I'm so tired, how am I gonna get my grocery cart back to the little corral thing. And I don't normally read minds, or I wouldn't necessarily consider myself a psychic person, but for some reason I'm sitting in my car and I just knew that's what she was thinking, which sounds strange. So I got out of my car and I started walking towards her, and it was like our paths like almost collided. It was like we were part of a play, and the director said, okay, now go and start walking towards here and be at the car at the count of three. It was, you know, synchronized perfectly. And as I walked up to her, she was finishing putting her groceries in the car, and she was about to have to start back. And I just looked at her and I said, hey, and I don't even know why I said it. It just kind of came out really fast. I said, hey, do you want me to take your cart for you? And she said, yeah, I really would. Thank you. And I just took the cart and I started walking away. And I'm sure to anyone else, this doesn't seem like much of anything, but it like sparked something inside my heart. It was the strangest. It was almost like I like came out of worrying about myself and worrying about my kids, and I got like a jolt in my heart, and I started the idea again of thinking about others, and it kind of got my heart back going again. So again, it's one of those experiences that probably happen to people every day and they don't even think anything of it. But for me, it was kind of the beginning of learning how to reignite my heart again. So that's kind of how it started. And then, are you still there?
Yep.
Okay. And then I did some training actually to be a grief counselor. I did a lot of training in that, and I thought that's what I wanted to do. But it seemed as though, and I'm not knocking therapy because I certainly did therapy and it was very beneficial. And, you know, anyone who's gone through a major loss, whether it's divorce or, you know, death or loss of a job, or, you know, there's so many different ways, you know, and so many different losses we can go through. I mean, therapy is very, very beneficial. But I felt as though a lot of the therapy that's out there is so much more cognitively based. And it, you know, I realized that a lot of it isn't heart-centered. So that's kind of how I started thinking, you know, like we know how to give CPR. I mean, some of us do. If we've taken a babysitting course or for your job, you might have learned how to do CPR. But a lot of us find it really hard to talk to someone when they're going through a loss. You know, people don't always know what to say at a funeral. You know, I didn't know before I went through this, some of the things that people say, even though it's what we're told to say, isn't always the most helpful or beneficial. So that's kind of how that all started, where I realized, you know, my heart kind of got sparked by that interaction. And I thought about some of the ways that we could help each other more at a funeral, and the way we speak to each other. And so they kind of all got combined together. Again, everything kind of goes in a circle with me. I, you know, I'm taking notes. I'm living my life. I come back to my notes. I revise them. Something else happens. I take some more notes. So this has kind of been a process for a couple years now. But that's really how it all started.
Okay. Yeah, and I can understand, like you said, when my fiance died too, it was like, nobody knew what to say. It's like I lost friends because they didn't know what to say.
Yeah.
It's just like they just drift away and drift away and drift away because they're afraid of saying something, quote unquote, wrong. So you
don't
hear
from
them.
You.
Right. They don't want to hurt you. And yet, then suddenly it's like it's been so long that they think, oh my gosh, I didn't say anything. So now I can't really say anything. And how do I reopen that friendship or that relationship? And it's really hard. It's really hard. And I'm sure you had that even more with, like, your married folks, because I know couples hang around a lot with each other, you know, especially then you have the kids, and then you get, you know, get school families and things like that with your kids. And then all of a sudden it's like, no, you're not a couple. Even, like, divorce ends up, you know, similar but not as harsh, you know, because the other parent is probably still around somewhat. But you're right. It's just, you know, people just kind of think I'm sorry. It's like, well, why are you sorry? You know, I'm taking it on. But you don't need to take it on. I have to deal with it, or kind of thing. So, yeah, I understand what you're saying about that. So were the things that you started sharing with people then of what you'd like to hear them say, or did you start handling funerals differently from your end? How did you start incorporating some of this that you were thinking about?
Well, you know, and I initially started writing a book about CPR for the grieving heart, how to speak to someone at a funeral. But what I realized, though, it would be a very, very short book. So I'm going to put it inside this book, if that makes sense. But, you know, people ask me all the time, and I say, you know, the best thing you can do to be, or think of the example of a young child whose balloon just blew away, or, you know, their puppy is whimpering or something. Just think of a young child and think of a situation where they'd be really, really sad. How would you talk to them? And think of those words, and that's how you, what is the best way to speak to someone at a funeral? I remember being at the funeral and people would say these long, deep, philosophical things to me. And honestly, I didn't even know what they were talking about. but the people who just, you know, like gave me a hug and sometimes didn't even say the words, you know, it's again, those kind of techniques and things you would say to a young child. You know, like maybe you would just rub their back and let them cry. That's one of the best things you can do. You know, just offer like your warmth, your embrace, your letting them know they're there. I don't know the words, but I am here for you. When you speak from the heart, it will affect someone else's heart. When you speak from the head and you know, you want to be this wise sage and offer all this wisdom. That's not the time. You know, someone, when you're at the funeral, your heart is broken. And unfortunately, there really isn't a lot at that time you can do other than to let the person know how you feel about them and let them know that you're there for them. And like in the case with my dad, when my dad passed away, it was really helpful and kind of fun when people would come through the line and they would tell stories about my dad. It kind of filled in some gaps of his life, you know, because I had moved out when I was like 18, 19. My dad passed when he was 77. So, you know, I mean, obviously I wasn't always in touch with my dad, but there was a lot of things about him I didn't know because I, you know, hadn't lived with him for so long. And when people would fill in like those personal stories, that was really helpful. So I think speaking from the heart is really the best you can offer to someone at that time. So, yeah, I don't know in our culture right now if that's what really is done, because it seems as though people will offer condolences at the funeral and then they kind of end it, you know, because like the next time you see them, people don't usually mention the deceased name anymore. You know, they're always afraid that they're going to hurt you. And I know I've had people apologize to me. They're like, oh, I'm so sorry. I mentioned Mark was my late husband. I'm so sorry I mentioned Mark's name. And I said, why? I'm like, I think about him all the time. It feels better when someone mentions his name when they don't mention it. So those are just all those things that until you go through that, I don't think you know. I mean, how could you? So I'm going to put some of those kind of things in my book. It's really more on the other side, but certainly how we speak to people at funerals, I think, could be improved. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that answers your question.
It's not my answer to determine, so. One of our folks in the chat room, backing up just a second, and then I'll come back to where you were, because I missed the comment earlier, was that interesting about the psychic, and she had never heard messages coming from a negative source. You're lucky.
Mm-hmm.
So many times, yeah, they're like, oh, that's the dark side. That's, you know,
mm-hmm.
a lot of people don't, that we were discussing before, they don't think it's a God source because it's, you know, from the dead, and the dead is negative. But it's really not, you know. Hopefully we can think of it as a new phase in their journey, whatever that might be.
Yeah.
But then the second comment was, isn't I'm sorry just a phrase indicating commiseration and empathy? To some extent, sure. I know. What do you think about that?
Well, yes, it is. And I think that's what we're taught, and that it's not a bad thing to say, but I think that when you hear everyone who comes to the line saying the exact same thing, it tends to lose its meaning. So I would encourage anyone, the next time you go to a funeral, think of something heartfelt. Think of something that goes back to your connection with that person. And for example, if it's someone you work with and maybe you don't have a heartfelt experience with them, you could just say, you know, I'm really going to miss going to meetings with him because he always had something funny to say. I think we could put a little more effort in what we say. I don't think I'm sorry is bad. I think, again, it's what we're taught. But I think a little more thoughtfulness could be put into the words that you use. So that would be my suggestion.
Okay. And I'm going to, we just got to notice that our caller has, our person in the chat room has a question for our caller. I'm going to put you on. You are there. Okay. So
okay.
If that's all right for you.
Sure.
Hopefully.
Bring
you on Joy. Hello, Joy.
Hi there.
I'm sorry. All I heard is I love, and then I heard the rest. I didn't hear the rest.
Your energy.
Oh, yay. Thank you.
I'm coming from a place that I've lost every single person in my life. Everyone has died, every pet, every person. Mm. I have literally nobody. So I've been through death a lot. And it would never occur to me to try to tell someone to express their condolences in any way other than they did, because I know that they are doing their best, and the fact that they even showed up is from the heart. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand why people want to educate people out of doing what comes naturally to them. If every single person says, I'm sorry, every single person's doing their best. So I
can't even imagine
not thrilled with what someone would say. And I've never felt that every person told me the same thing. I thought every person is pouring out their heart and soul, and I would never try to tell someone, come up with a better way of expressing your sympathy and empathy and grief, because just the fact that they're there is huge, and they're going through their own stuff. A lot of people can't handle death. The day my sister died, who was my very best friend I've ever had, I had to go 2 hours later and run a casting call because I had people driving from hundreds of miles to come to it, and I couldn't cancel. And people were freaked out. They didn't know how to respond to me. And I would never think to try to educate them on how they should tell me they're sorry, because they're doing their best. And a lot of people have real trouble with death. They're so scared of it. They don't know how to deal with it. And even if they just say something lame, like you're better off without him, something horrible, I would still feel like that dear soul is doing their best under the circumstances. They don't know how to process this.
Right.
I
never, when I was at the funeral, ever said to someone, hey, that wasn't a very good, what's happened for me is that because I've gone through some things like you've gone through, you know, my dad, my husband, even my dog was really tough, is that people would come to me and say, hey, I've got a difficult funeral coming up. You know, this is someone my age, you know, one of my husband's best friend. How should I want to say something meaningful. And so it came as people would ask me what I thought. And so these things all kind of happen in these cycles where, you know, for a while it was like a lot of people were coming to me like, I'm going to be doing this. What would be a nice thing to say in the card? So I was like, I really liked it when, I'm sorry, I missed it.
I said, that's lovely that people come to you to ask that. That's lovely.
So again, I agree that, you know, for many people just coming to the funeral is lovely. But I was able to have, you know, from a lot of deaths, as looks like you've gone through, had some perspective, and there were people that came through during the funeral and after, and things that they said that were especially helpful. So I was just going to put this, you know, somehow in between my book. I don't know how I'm going to weave it in, whatever, some ways that I thought were really helpful. And, you know, however people want to implement them, that's totally up to them. And maybe for you, there were things that would be different that you would find helpful, you know, and that's the beauty that we're all different and different things work for different people, for sure.
Right. Thank you so much for clarifying. That's a very different approach than I got out of what you said before. So thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Oh, good. We're on a phone call, and you know, I'm just trying to answer questions. And I know sometimes am I going in and out a lot when I'm speaking?
No, Cindy was a little bit, but now you're both doing great.
Okay, good.
Okay, so thank you so much for clarifying. Like I said, that's a different perspective, and that makes more sense based on all the lovely things you said before.
<Thank you. laughs>
with the tone of what you were saying before. So thank you for taking the time to clarify. I appreciate it.
Oh, sure. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Joy, for listening.
Thanks, Joy. I'll put you back on hold. Hit 1, please, on your phone. And I'm going to bring in our other caller here, Greg from Pennsylvania. I think somehow, Joe, you got disconnected. Maybe you hung up. But we have Greg from Pennsylvania here, and he has a question for you as well. Hi, Greg. Welcome to the show. Are you there?
Greg? Oh, sorry, I had myself on mute,
so you were muted now yourself.
Okay, yeah.
Welcome.
Yeah, with everything that is being said, it led me to, I was taking some notes, remembering some things that I wanted to write about for a long time. And one of the things is, just a hypothetical situation. I know that, a lot of people, when you pray for them, no matter what situation they're in, you get a flow opens up, you receive words, visions, things like that. And
mm-hmm.
I'm wondering how much, if a person does go to a psychic or medium, they say, I want to talk to this person or I want to talk to that person. I'm wondering how much of that, it's still, divine, but it's more like the person's really receiving from, the creator what they need, giving it to them. The only difference is they might attach their loved one's name to it as though that loved one is revealing it, when in fact
mm-hmm.
it's really, it's just an extension of their ministry gifts. I was wondering mm-hmm. how often you think that kind of thing happens.
So are you saying that, do you think that the person who's doing the channeling has like their own stamp of, they're channeling it in a way that based on their background, or I guess I'm not entirely sure about your question.
Possibly. Yeah, it does have to do with a lot of the background. I know I've had situations where, maybe I got a word and it really didn't have anything to do with a dead person, but because
mm-hmm.
medium still got the information, they just assumed that the person, that it's from somebody that was dead because that's their, their modality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm just, it can still be a word that's accurate and really help the person. I'm just saying, sometimes it might not always be a direct connection to that person, which doesn't really matter, because they're being helped. And it is, it's not a counterfeit. It's of God, just in a different way.
Right. I always, because my husband died so abruptly, and I like to talk, I felt like this strange, right after he died, like I wanted just to like talk to a psychic. And I did, and I've probably, since he's passed, have talked to, it's been 6.5 years now, probably 5. And what I found, like any other profession, the bell curve, they're the ones who have, the psychics who have very clear channels where you almost feel as though you're speaking to the deceased. And then there are ones who you get a sense that they do have that connection, but it's not as clear, and it seems to take a lot longer to come forward with the messages. And it's just a sense you get inside, I guess. And they always say that being intuitive is almost like the radio dials, where some people get a really clear signal and some people don't. So I always say, and I probably have said this like 4 times since we've been talking, that it's all about you inside know when you're getting a message from the other side, and only you can know that. Like, maybe you get like goosebumps, or you just get the sense of knowing. And I think it's the person doing their channeling, it's their ability to channel effectively. And so we all have better abilities. Some people might channel better for others, or personally, I think it's best when you don't know the person at all. And then they don't have their preconceived notions, or they don't think they're saying something you want to hear. So I think that answers your question.
Yeah, I think all the possibilities, are there.
Yeah.
So
I think I want to add a little bit to that for Greg's question too. I think some of it has to do with a psychic or a person's perception of how they think they should be saying it, and also
mm-hmm.
how someone is receiving it in that moment. Because sometimes
mm-hmm.
as a listener too, maybe we're ready to hear it, and other times maybe we're not. And the channeler may be saying exactly whatever message is supposed to be coming through, but we may be hearing something totally different. We do that in a conversation every day, too. I think it's very similar.
You know what? So you're so right, because sometimes, depending on where you're at, you may hear something differently than when you're in a different state of mind. So I agree, and whenever I've had the opportunity to talk to a psychic and I can record the conversation, I will hear things differently at different points in my life, depending on my emotional state or whatever. So, yeah, I totally agree.
Is there anything else you had that you wanted to ask, Greg?
Probably not. Just that, you know, one of the things I was thinking about was, I know that, let's say in a church situation, you might have somebody that's very intuitive tuning into somebody that really has a emotional need or an illness. And sometimes, you know, because of the way they were trained, they might tack on to that. Thus said the Lord, you know, this person's being healed. When in fact, there was no, wasn't necessarily an angel deployed to heal that person. You know, they're just assuming that's the way they were trained. So this is just something I've been working out. I'm going to start a blog eventually, but it's just something I like to hear lots of people's opinions on things like this. So thank you.
Right. Yeah. And I think too, whoever, you know, whether you call it divine, God, angel, your loved one on the other side, whoever you think it's coming from and through, you know, it is some kind of divine energy and something that's not of our own creation. And I get caught up in that because I get scared and going, am I just thinking I heard that? Did I hear that right? And then go and hide. This is something Margaret and I have been talking about the last couple of weeks. That's why I laugh on it too. And it's like being able to accept that. So are you on Facebook, Greg?
Yeah, but I don't use it. I'm going to have to redo my whole Facebook thing.
Okay. Well, I was going to suggest you come over to Purpose Talk Radio Conversations. You know, if you have some other questions, I'm going to, you know, we've got the one post pinned up to the top there, at least for this week. And then, of course, it'll scroll down when I put up a new show next week. And please let us know, too, when you start your blog. We might like to follow that.
Okay. Thank you.
And be a part of that.
Bless you guys, ladies.
Nice to meet you. Thank you very much. Good. Thank you for calling in. Put you back on hold here. Well, that was good to have a different voice and a male perspective, which we don't typically get during the day, which is cool.
Yeah.
In this show, you know, we get a couple comments occasionally in the chats and stuff, but not calling in. So I appreciate that as well, getting a little different male energy perspective on that. Okay, so where are we with, you know, what other kind of, I think, did you have some other meaning to that acronym of CPR as opposed to just our traditional resuscitation that we're aware of? Was there something that
well,
you with
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I do. The way I put it together was the C was compassion, and the P is for being present, and then the R is for being receptive. And when I've done talks on my book and as I write my book, I really stress to people that the C is about being compassionate to yourself and finding that self-love and finding ways to cultivate that, because I was getting myself in a situation with caring for my kids and just dealing with my new life of being a single parent. I mean, I was ready to almost like disappear because I just couldn't give anymore. You know, I was just giving from a place of nothing. And so I had to learn a lot about self-love. And so that's where I start. So it's being, when you fill your own cup, you're able to give to others. So that's a big part of my book, and my message is about learning about self-love. There's a lot of different ways to do that for yourself. When people ask me and they want to give me to give them a quick explanation, I always say, you know what? Think about when you were a kid and what were the things that you loved to do.
You know, was it being outside? Was it swimming? Whatever were those fun things we love to do as a kid, those are things that you can put it into the adult way, things that you can do for yourself for now. And when I was a kid, I loved to read. I loved to hang out with friends. I loved to dance. So, you know, we can put those in the adult ways, and those are all ways that I can kind of, like, love myself and feed my soul so that I can be there for my children and for others. So that's the C part. And I don't know if I should go on to the rest, or do you have a question? Sorry, you went out for a second. Keep going?
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So the rest of it, okay, so then there's the first part of C is being loving yourself, and then the rest of the C part, the rest of the compassion part, is being a heart that doesn't have restriction, being allowing your heart to listen to the divine. Like in that instance where I talked about, I'm in the grocery, the parking lot, and I got that sense that that woman needed a little bit of help. And even though it was a very small thing, it was almost like a whisper of the divine when I'm like, I'm going to help her. And then I felt really good. And I think we all have so many responsibilities placed on us, you know, like, you know, jobs and family and maybe aging parents or whatever. And sometimes we can get overwhelmed and feel as though we have to do too much. And when we feel like that, when we're helping and serving the ones we love, and we get a little resentful, that's when we know we need to back it up a little bit and do some kind of self-love activity. But when you are serving others and you feel good about it, that's when you know you're being an open vessel for the divine. You're listening, you're relying upon your intuition. God is speaking to you directly. You are being the representative of the divine on earth. So it's always like a two-part process, and I think some of us maybe do too much for others, or maybe sometimes we get too self-indulgent and only worry about our own needs, but it's really kind of about finding that balance between the two, you know, being, you know, taking care of yourself, filling yourself up, the feeling and feeling good, and then you're able to help and serve with others. So that's the C part of my help for your heart. And then the P part is about being present. And I think a lot of people are aware of being present. You know, we know about being mindful and there is an awareness of that. But I think it's one of those things that tends to be something that you just do once in a while. And what I did frequently after my husband died is I spent too much time in the past or in thinking about all those wonderful days and how good things were, or I spent too much time in the future. And then that was when I would worry. So I kind of teeter between being, you know, sad that the past was gone or too anxious about the future. And I really had to learn techniques about being present. So that's how I got into meditation, a daily practice of grounding, those kind of things to kind of keep myself in the present. And I would say being present and working on being present is one of the most important things that anyone can do. And then the next part is the R, which is being receptive, because I think we all, especially after you've gone through something like a loss, you tend to close up and say to yourself, I don't want to be hurt again. We can shut ourselves off. At least that's what I did. And I know other people who've gone through significant hurts and losses and divorces, they tend to shut down and then they don't want to receive anymore because they're kind of guarding their heart. So
right.
The R is about receiving and ways to receive. So that's kind of it, I guess, in a nutshell.
I think you're right. It is that shutdown. That's probably the most common thing, you know, whether it's a depression or whether it's a isolation or whatever it is. Just as a lot of times people don't know what to say to us, we don't know what to say to them if we're in that mode of grief and trying to process life.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, easiest thing to do is sometimes hide. For some people.
Right.
And others are the opposite way.
they'll go the opposite, where they, you know, they'll never take time for themselves because they don't want to feel the emotions or they don't want to process. So you get either extreme on that, but to be open to, like you said, receptive to whatever we're supposed to be doing for ourselves and those we're with.
Yeah, yeah. And I know, I was going to say, a common thing to do is to almost put a Band-Aid on the problem, such as like alcohol, or just indulge yourself in some way that doesn't really, it just puts a Band-Aid on the problem and it doesn't really go away. You know, it's truly, I think, whatever way you can self-love yourself is the most effective. You know, we all have our vices. I mean, I don't go a day without chocolate, you know, but whatever it is, you know, all those things that we do, you know, we drink, we smoke, we, you know, there's so many different vices out there, but the ones that give you that self-love are the ones that are going to be the most effective in the long run. Just what I found.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm going to throw out to people one last time. If you have comments, either throw them in the chat room or pick up the phone or Skype in. Phone 347-205-9074. 347-205-9074. If you're one of our previous callers and want to ask another question, make sure you hit 1 to get out of the queue and 1 to come back in. Otherwise, I won't know that there's anything different from your conversation and that you're not just listening. So, okay. Were there other things that you wanted to share with us that I did not ask you today?
Well, I guess biggest things I can say is going within and listening to the divine, the matter. You know, the divine speaks to us in so many different ways. And learning to differentiate between that ego talking to us and the whisper of the divine, I think, is just one of those lifelong keys to happiness. You know, when my ego is talking to me, it's usually negative, and it tends to say the same things over and over, like, what are you doing? Why would you do that? You know, those that type of way. And when the divine speaks to me, it tends to be quieter. It usually tends to be positive, and it doesn't say the same thing over and over. So, you know, after a certain age, you know, all of us are dealing with something, you know, it's death, divorce, you know, you lose your job, you know, something happens, you lose physical mobility, whatever it is. And, you know, life can be really, really tough. And it feels like, you know, you're just getting kicked and things aren't working out. And I think when we can tune in and we can go deep and listen to that inner voice, that's where the magic is and the answers are and the understanding is. So that would be my last thought, I guess. It comes out in many different ways. You know, sometimes you can hear God speaking to you when you're out in nature. Sometimes you might hear a message in someone else's words, which I know sounds kind of odd, but sometimes you'll overhear a conversation and it'll be exactly what you needed to hear. And, you know, that happened to me a couple times and I thought, oh, that's just goofy. That's not God speaking to me. But then I realized the odds of me being in that exact place to hear those words was, you know, statistically not very common to happen. So I think just being aware that the divine can speak to you in a lot of different ways and opening yourself and being ready to receive that would be my last point I'd like to share.
Okay, cool. Thank you on that. And we've had a couple of comments in the chat room that they love your book title. So I guess it's a winner to go with. And so when do you expect that your book will be in process here? Because you kind of just are starting to turn it into a book format. Is that correct?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, like, I don't know if you can tell by me speaking, I tend to go in circles a little bit. So, you know, I've written things out and then I go back and something happens in my life and I kind of redo it. So
it's still kind of in that circling phase. I do have a publisher, but hopefully within the next year. Definitely. Definitely.
Okay.
So, okay. And you know what, could I ask any of your listeners, if you have any questions, you can certainly send them. I'll be looking on the page to, I would love to hear any questions, what anyone has to say. So.
Yep. Yep. I do invite them to put that over at Purpose Talk Radio Conversations.
Okay. Okay.
Wonderful. So all on the thread, and anybody else can follow that as well. So I tagged you over there. And then, you know, if they listen to the archived piece of this is exactly the same link as the original. So if anybody wants to listen to it again, share it with your friends, family, anybody else, you are welcome to do that as well. We invite you to always share that. If you have anything specific that, you know, really resonated with you from this show, again, please put it in that thread, because it is really helpful to us to carry that conversation and find it easily back, you know, going forward. So I
that's
don't...
awesome, because, you know, oh, okay, sorry.
Yep, go ahead.
I was going to say, you know what, that's awesome, because, you know, I really think we all learn from each other, and I think the more we talk about these things, the easier they are to go through. So I think that's really pretty cool that people are communicating with each other.
Yeah. Great. Thank you. Now we have both the page, Purpose Talk Radio page, where I announce the shows, and then the conversations where we end up following up more as a group. And, of course, that flows depending upon how people comment. So.
Okay.
All right. Well, I am going to stick you back on hold here.
Okay.
You can listen to the end of this show. There isn't much more to it, I don't think, except kind of wrap up pieces here. And thank you very much for being my guest today. And of course,
thank you,
I'll look
Cindy.
Forward to more of your I was just going to say something. I wonder if we should do it. I know you also do meditations, and hopefully look forward to doing some of those in the future as well. You know, unless you wanted to do something today, I don't know that we need to. I think we've pretty much covered your subject, but that's up to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
Okay. We can work that into maybe a future show or something, or again, if you do get some of those recorded and put up online, please feel free to put some of those links into the discussion as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. All right. Well, thank you, folks, for listening today. That was our guest, Margaret Stoiber. She's an RN as well as 2B author, teaches Zumba, does a lot of other healing modalities, works with essential oils, and like as part of that, part of her story today was talking about grief, and especially with the death of her husband with 3 young children at the time. And so we were talking about the CPR of your spiritual heart, particularly what she was referring, her acronym being for compassion, purpose, and being receptive. So you can get this recording at the same link as you had the original, as I'd mentioned earlier. Purpose Talk Radio is here every Friday, noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern, and 8 p.m. in the U.K., you are invited to be a guest if you have something you'd like to share with us and or the listeners, where you have found yourself living your purpose, how you came to achieve it, how you came to know what it was, and, you know, anything you'd like to suggest for other people as well, if you'd like. Next week, we will be talking to Lynn Vernet about finding your voice, and look forward to having that discussion again, a networking thing through Kat Sturtz, who you've heard on this show before and who's called in and been a part of discussions in the past. We just love the way networking works. And we started our show today talking a positive news story, being more one of, you know, how social media sometimes gets a little bit of a bad rap, but how in this case we have been able to, you know, find some really good, strong connections because of that.
and how we've been able to connect. You know, you folks have heard me talk to Joy a couple times on this show, and she is another one through social media. Initially, that was our connection. And, you know, it turns into phone calls or Facebook calls or things like that. And all of us, you know, we have the choice to connect with people on social media and how we connect with them, whether it's just accepting people as friends because they send you the message and you want to add up your numbers, or just are curious as to who they are and what they do, or you can kind of screen them too and make sure that there is some kind of connection to add to the experience. But either way, that's entirely up to you. And finding the positive in that is how you set up your own connections there. One of the things here, Purpose Talk Radio is brought to you every week by True Visions Travel. Again, a full-service travel company that helps with specialized trips, especially for those needing special accommodations or individualized accommodations. The theme song for Purpose Talk Radio is called I Am Who I Am by the group True Trinity. You will hear that in a few minutes. The vocalist on that is Jillian Clark. The writers are Jillian, Rachel Grace, and myself. You can find True Trinity at TRUETRINITY.com on the internet, as well as True Trinity on Facebook. I didn't mention to you too, for Purpose Talk Radio, you can get a hold of me at Cindy, C-I-N-D-Y, at PurposeTalkRadio.com, C-I-N-D-Y at PurposeTalkRadio.com. I think that's pretty much all we've got for sharing this week. And, it's not. There is one more thing we must do. In addition to being a positive song every week, I like to share with listeners an affirmation for the week. And, Margaret, if you've got one, hit one and come. I'll put you back on. If you want me just to create one from the show, I will... do that as well. I'm letting you come back on. So, let's see what we have for the affirmation, which I'm going over to the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations chat. Let's see, what would we like to do with this week's? I know, let's see. I am, which we must do as part of that, of course. I am. Providing my, giving and receiving own CPR for my spiritual heart. There we go. Very simple. I am giving and receiving my own CPR from my spiritual heart. That should help for the week. And I've got that marked, of course, as the affirmation. So if you forget it, we can find it again over at Purpose Talk Radio Conversations. And I can always set the phone down. So you had a little bit of a blurb in that, and hopefully we're still able to hear everything. And with that being said, I'm just checking the phone lines one last time on there and don't see anybody else coming back on. So I will close this show and see you next week, hear you next week at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, and 8 p.m. in the UK as we close with the song, I Am Who I Am. Until next week, I wish you all soul blessings. She came back with one. I'm going to add to it. I am open to giving and receiving love. I'm going to add that in as a second affirmation for this week. I am open to giving and receiving love. So now I wish you all so blessings. Thanks again, folks.
I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.